now to House Bill 1253, an act to revise certain provisions pertaining to the Juvenile Corrections Monitor. Representative Gillespie, yes, and this could be our last bill. We still could have an assignment, a transfer of a bill from another committee. But this is our last scheduled bill at this point. Representative Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Margaret Gillespie, State Representative, District 16. House Bill 1253 originated as the Independent Ombudsman Bill, which was brought to the legislature again this year for a variety of reasons, which I won't get into right today. The bill in its original form was deferred by the House Judiciary Committee to the 36th day by a vote of 7-6. And after that defeat, we were successful over in the House in smoking the bill out of committee with the intention of improving the current monitor statute. So this is a hog house, and what we've done is deleted all of the independent ombudsman proposal and replaced it with the current monitor statute, as I stated, in an attempt to improve.
The monitor bill, you mean? You replaced it with the current monitor statute or current monitor bill?
A current monitor statute. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I get to talking and I'm not hearing myself. So what's transpired is this bill is not the bill that I proposed on the House floor. Representative Broderick was able to negotiate a better deal than I. And so I come to you and ask you for your favorable consideration, and I'll try to briefly explain what is transpiring. Currently, the seven subsections under 2611A27 for the monitor is permissive. As you can see in page one, line five, what this bill would do is overstrike May and make all of those seven mandatory requirements for the monitor. That's a significant change, I submit to you, and without that change, really kind of makes a laughingstock out of the reporting requirement of abuse and neglect, because in reality, there would be no requirement to investigate. So I think it's a good change, and I suspect that it was, you know, it could have been an oversight when the monitor was originally brought in, and that's really the meat of the bill. But I will note on page two a couple of other changes in subsection four. There were some concerns late last year. Around November, December of 2001, about the timeliness of the report, which we are currently given by the monitor. Currently, the report is submitted at the end of the fiscal year, so the end of June of the individual year. And so by the time we come to the legislature, the information is half a year old. So there was a request to require a request of the monitor to submit a report before this legislative session, and the decision was made that that wasn't a requirement of the statute. So what we're attempting to do here is to provide for two reports per year, which I think will give the legislature and the Government Operations and Audit Committee and the governor and the Corrections Commission and the DOC timely information, so that we can deal with information that's current right before session. In addition, on page two, subsection seven, there's an addition to require notification of the existence of the monitor to custodial parents or guardians of the children. And this was an addition which originated from some concerns that parents were not aware of the existence of the JCM, and I think that will clear up some of those concerns, so that we're sure that Everyone has the notification and everyone knows that he exists and how to contact Mr. Ellis. And then Section 2 of the bill just repeals the moot statute that arose out of the 2000 legislature to require a feasibility study on the ACA accreditation. And so we're just deleting that because that's no longer needed. So although this is a hog house, I think it's some important changes and good changes. It's a good compromise. It remedies some of the problems that were raised during session this year, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Any questions, Representative Gillespie? If not, thank you very much. Any further proponents of House Bill 1253? For the proponents.
Unfortunate thing that you're not going to get to hear this time because they made a real effort to be here for the ombudsman bill and financially are not able to return for this more watered down bill. But a lot of what is in this grew out of what the House saw as the most serious, I'm not sure the parents would agree, but the most serious complaints from the parents. One thing that, and Mr. Chairman, I know was the original sponsor of the monitor bill. You know as well as I do that that was a series of compromises that ended up with that legislation. One of the problems, though, is that the monitor is not actually currently required to report to the legislature. The only thing he's actually currently required to report is he's required to report, and this is not in this bill, it's in the original monitor legislation. He's required to report immediately to the Government Operations and Audit Committee if he actually has a finding of an abuse or neglect situation. Other than that, in the current language, he's not required to report, he's not required to investigate. That's all very permissive. He has been reporting annually, and the problem is if you think back, the juvenile correction system as it existed in June has undergone major modifications between that time and the way it exists at this time. And yet the most recent report anyone can look at is the June report. You need a report that comes before December. A lot of the parents spent a lot of time when they were up here on the ombudsman trying to run down the most recent report of the juvenile corrections monitor. They had trouble doing that. They had trouble reaching him. We've had repeated reports of parents who had trouble reaching him with information that they felt was an abuse or neglect situation. And I'm not going to say whether they were or not. I don't know. But they had trouble reaching him. And one of the most telling things is one of the things that the parents group has been doing is they have been picking visitation weekends in the summer to go out and stand on the public right-of-way near the center and hand out both information about their group and also the juvenile corrections monitor's pamphlet. It is their experience that when they hand that pamphlet to families, that is usually the first time the families have heard juvenile corrections monitor. So it becomes that's part of the rationale for now also requiring him to give that information to the parents. One of the problems we have currently is for a child to file a complaint in Custer in the boot camp, he has to ask his drill instructor for the paper, for the pencil, sit there and write it out.
Are we getting away from the issues in this bill?
We are still on it because that becomes important because he's much more likely to tell his parents something freely than to necessarily tell the monitor. Or something may come up the child doesn't see as abusive or neglective, but a parent does and wishes to report. I think that while this is still not the independent ombudsman that we continue to want, this is an improvement in the monitor bill in that it requires both the mandated reporting, the mandated investigation, and it requires a semi-annual report and information to parents. And with that, I go
stand for questions. Any questions for Ms. Ring? If not, thank you very much. Any further proponents of House Bill 1253? Welcome.
The changes to this mix have already been reviewed, but in regard to subsection 4, that does require the report on 6-month period. Our intent would be to have the one report with period ending June 30th, one with the period ending December 31st, so that report could be in your hands very early on at the start of your legislative session. In terms of notification of the parent or guardian, custodial parent or guardian, our intent will be to work out a system with the Department of Corrections so that when a juvenile is going to be placed within a corrections facility, that we receive notice of that as well as the contact information for that custodial parent or guardian. So we can have the notice come directly from the Department of Human Services, so it keeps that sense of separation from the Department of Corrections. There will be a letter from John Ellis as well as a copy of the brochure that we're going to have to that custodial parent or guardian. And hopefully that will take care of some of the issues that have been there in regard to notification. I would just briefly respond to the comment about difficulty reaching the monitor. There have been some difficulties, quite honestly, because John spends a lot of time on the road, traveling out to custody facility there. Sometimes when a complaint is received, that child is already moved from Custer to perhaps one other program in the state, and some people travel to wherever that child is currently located to do that interview. So he is on the road a lot. We do have email access for him. He does have voicemail. But oftentimes when we get a call, the parent does not always leave a return phone number, so it's difficult for us to get back to them. I won't take up more of your time. I do want to let you know that John Ellis is here today. He is not badged, but we would make him available to answer questions if you so.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Senator Koskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Oldenkamp, who in Section 2 concerns me, who determines who the monitor should question? Is it any individual in the custody care?
You're talking about Section 1?
Sub 2. Any employee in the employee. I mean, first of all, what would the fine be, or what's his penalty if he doesn't do that, and who determines who he should talk to?
I don't think we have a penalty in there as such. Was there a penalty? Oh, misdemeanor? Misdemeanor. Okay. Any further questions? Senator Moore.
Thank you. Betty, with the closure or the imminent closure of Plankington, what other facilities does Mr. Ellis have to respond to outside of the Custer unit? Betty, then if that were to come to fruition, just the facility at Custer Estate to manage and operate it, would there be an effort to move Mr. Ellis out to Custer full time?
We've not actually discussed that. We
space out here was so that there would be that distance from the facilities that was kind of a central location. But personally, if John were housed out there, it would save on travel, but it also might see that he was more part of the Department of Corrections than the Department of Corrections. And so, after housing him on campus,
any further questions? If not, thank you very much. Any further proponents of House Bill 1253? For the proponents. And if you could, welcome and limit your comments to the three. What's this? Thank you. Any further proponents of House Bill 1253. Proponents, House Bill 1253. If not, are there any opponents to House Bill 1253? Any opponents? If not, we'll close to testimony, open to committee motion and discussion. Is there a motion? Moved to pass by Moore, seconded by Dugard. Any further discussion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Right.
House Bill 1253 goes out with a due pass recommendation.